Good evening, you are listening to KKRN Bella Vista, 88.5 FM in Round Mountain. My name is Tom Diskin, and I'll be your host for the next 2 hours. Coming up next is Intermountain Classics, our local weekly classical music program. Every Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m., Intermountain Classics features local artists and musicians with live broadcasts and interviews, as well as fine recorded music and commentary. And remember, you can comment on the show or request your favorite music by contacting me at imclassics@kkrn.org. That's imclassics@kkrn.org. Tonight's Intermountain Classics is a special program honoring our own North State Symphony and their upcoming 2016-2017 concert season. With me will be Scott Seaton, conductor and artistic director, talking about the highlights of this concert season, and in particularly the first concerts in Reading and Chico, which will take place next weekend, September 24th and 25th. In the second hour of tonight's program will be some Brahms Lieder, written specifically for women's voices, and modern American blues music for both piano and viola. Stay tuned for this most unusual and inspiring program of fine classical music right here on Intermountain Classics on your community radio station for Reading and Shasta County, KKRN 88.5 FM, and on the web at kkrn.org. All Intermountain Classics shows for the 2016 year are now archived on the KKRN website, kkrn.org. If you miss a program or you would like to hear it again, go to Intermountain Classics section of the kkrn.org website and look for the show you want to hear. Each show is available for immediate playback. And for updates and special features, check the Intermountain Classics page on Facebook and like us if you enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to Intermountain Classics. I'm your host, Tom Diskin. We have just heard The Cuban Overture by George Gershwin, as performed by Jeff Tyzik and the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. You can hear this very energetic and exciting overture next weekend in both Reading and Chico at North State Symphony's opening concert for the 2016 and 2017 concert season. This year's season is expanded from the past and will include chamber music concerts, holiday concerts, a New Year's Eve gala, fundraising recitals, and a Pops concert, in addition to the four regular subscription concerts. I have with me Scott Seaton, conductor and artistic director of North State Symphony, who will tell us about the upcoming concert season as well as next weekend's Rumba to Ravel concert. Conductor Scott Seaton is in increasing demand on the international level as a winner of the Interaction competition in Berlin and as a semi-finalist in the 2012 Sir George Scholte International Conducting Competition in Frankfurt, Germany. Seaton is beginning his second season as conductor and artistic director of the North State Symphony. Prior to that, he completed several seasons as music director of the Minot Symphony Orchestra in North Dakota, where he conducted classical, family, educational, and Pops concerts. In addition, he has served as assistant conductor of Festival Opera in Walnut Creek, California. He has held posts with the Kent State University Orchestra, the Lakeland Civic Orchestra, the Orchestra of the University of Montreal, the Davidson College Symphony Orchestra, the New England Collective Chamber Orchestra, the New England Conservatory Symphony, the University of Kentucky Symphony Orchestra and Opera Theater, the Nashville Intercollegiate Orchestra, and the Nashville Youth Symphony, among others. Originally from Nashville, Tennessee, Seaton has earned bachelor degrees from the University of Montreal, the New England Conservatory, and the Blair School of Music at Vanderbilt University. Welcome to Intermountain Classics, Scott.
Great to be here, Tom.
And thank you so much. When we talked last year at this time, you were beginning your first season at North State Symphony. How would you describe your first year with the orchestra, and was it all you hoped it would be?
Yeah, it was great. I've really enjoyed, you know, starting to touch the surface of these two wonderful communities, and you know, the orchestra just has enormous potential, and I feel in the past year, especially through some of the very, very exciting and challenging repertoire that we've done, you know, we've begun this process of growing together, and certainly this coming season, we'll continue that journey with some of the huge, meaty pieces of all the repertoire that we're going to be tackling. So it was really a very successful year, and I feel a lot of energy with our relationship together.
And I know you've become quite a bit of a sensation almost overnight. Everybody loves you and loves what you're doing with the orchestra. And it really was a successful season last year. I know I enjoyed every concert to the utmost, so it was really wonderful. So now you're starting your second season with the orchestra. What are some of the highlights of this year's season that we have to look forward to?
Well, in addition to the four classical subscription concerts, which we always offer, we are launching this year the NSS Pops! Exclamation point series.
Oh, my.
And really, this is a way for us to try to reach out to a more diverse audience, to people who want to hear music that just isn't within the sort of classical realm. You know, it's a chance for us to do everything from Star Wars, you know, to other movie music, and collaborating with local bands and other organizations, and to really create more unique concert experiences. And our first big traditional pop set in April, you know, for example, it's called A Splash of Favorites, and you'll hear everything in that concert from said Star Wars music to some Queen and maybe some other something like Journey, because we're collaborating and we're partnering with Uncle Dad's Art Collective, which is a Chico-based group.
Uh-huh.
And you know, for example, they did a show in Laxton a few months ago, which completely sold out. It was a tribute to Queen, so they're doing pretty well in the region.
Uh-huh.
And I think it'll be a really exciting experience to bring these two worlds together, and for the North State communities to really see how all of these different realms of music fit together.
Oh.
So there's that, and then of course we have our with the NSS Pop Series. Within that, this year is we're trying something new, and that is the a big New Year's Eve concert in Reading, which is called a New York New Year's Eve. So it's a huge event.
Oh, that'll lots be fun. Yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh,
it's, yeah. You know, we have lots of guest artists, and, you know, because it's a New York New Year's Eve, it's ending at 9 p.m., which gives everyone a chance, you know, to either attend an after party or go home and go to bed early or whatever they'd like to do. So it's going to be quite an experience. But as a whole, the season is something I'm very much looking forward to.
Oh, that sounds wonderful! Really great. How about some of the music in the regular concert series? Are there a few works that you'd like to tell us about?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, the cornerstones, the outer layers, the bread of the season, actually embody two of my, I would say, favorite pieces of music. And in the first concert, the last piece in the program, the Ravel Daphnis and Chloe Second Suite, is one of those pieces that every conductor just loves to conduct because it's so much fun to do. And I have only done it in competitions. I've never done it in performance, so I'm really looking forward to doing it twice in one weekend.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's...
And,
That's on the upcoming concert just in next weekend, actually, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, and I know that some of the really exciting works you have planned for future concerts, one of them is the Mahler, it's the Fifth Symphony, isn't it?
Right, Mahler's Fifth Symphony. Now, Mahler, of course, was this incredible composer who just also happened to be a great conductor, probably the first of that combination of people. And in his scores are directions so clear to the conductor that he writes paragraphs on practically every single page. And so it's really hard not to do exactly what he says. because he knows the world of conducting so well that he writes all of these intricate details into his score. Now, and his scores, his works, his symphony, his body of symphonies, each one, which, you know, they're pretty lengthy works. They, they, according to him, it's basically an hour of your life that embodies every possible emotion that you could go through. Now, to quote him, it is the world. there's that famous conversation he had with Jean Sibelius, who is probably my favorite composer. And you know, Sibelius was talking about, oh, the symphony should be this, this, and this. And then Mahler was like, no, that's wrong. The symphony, you know, should embody everything. It is the world. It is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the Fifth Symphony is certainly no exception to that, because it starts out in the darkest of worlds. It starts out with a funeral march, and it's just the solo trumpet penetrating the silence in the distance. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden there's this huge explosion in the orchestra, and really the whole symphony is sort of this up and down roller coaster in that respect, because it goes from these most beautiful, intimate chamber music moments with just a few players playing to the end of the symphony, which is just all out everything. There's probably a kitchen sink in there somewhere. I mean, it's just a very large orchestra. It's when everyone plays, when everyone's doing different things because he tends to write lots of different textures within the orchestra happening simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much sound coming at you, so many different things for you to listen for. And it's really quite an experience because even for me and other conductors and seasoned musicians who have performed or listened or studied the symphony over and over and over again, you hear something new every time mm-hmm. you listen to it, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and my personal favorite is the fourth movement, the Adagietto.
Right.
And it's what an incredibly beautiful, beautiful movement. I played the symphony probably 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was, as a musician, it was really a moving experience. And so much so that I think this is something we could probably share with our listeners right now, don't you think?
Oh, fantastic, yes.
Yeah, so I do have a short music clip here of the fourth movement of Mahler's Fifth Symphony. This is the Adagietto movement. This is Intermountain Classics on KKRN 88.5 FM in Round Mountain. I'm Tom Diskin. Thanks for listening. We're listening to an interview with North State Symphony's conductor and artistic director, Scott Seaton, talking about next weekend's season opening concerts and the upcoming concert season. We've just heard a beautiful excerpt from Mahler's Fifth Symphony, which will be featured on North State Symphony's final concert of this year's season, taking place next May. That is just so incredibly beautiful, Scott. And when are you going to be performing this Mahler Symphony so we know when to look forward to this?
Well, that is the May concert set. So that's the season closer right there.
That's at the very end of the season then.
Right.
Wonderful.
And we're doing something special with that concert as well. So, you know, normally before these large pieces of music, I would chat, you know, and try to give the audience, you know, a couple tidbits to listen for through this incredible sort of journey they're about to go through. Mm-hmm. For this, we're hopefully going to do something special. You know, we're collaborating with the theater department at Shasta College, and we're going to give mini scenes before the first movement, after the first movement, after the second movement. And the interesting thing is, during the intermission, we're going to sort of try to create an interactive theatrical experience while you're sort of resting and hopefully going outside to grab a drink or something, and so that the action continues and it actually leads into the fourth and fifth movements, the love song and the finale. Mm. So, and I was actually inspired to try this when I went to this Shakespeare production in New York City called Sleep No More, which is actually an interactive experience where you walk into this old hotel, and every floor has several different scenes from, I think it was Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
And you walked in with this group of like 50 people, and you put on these masks, so you're anonymous. And you just really just follow the action of whatever, because the actors, they're not just standing there. Sometimes they move around, they take you places. And I thought, wow, why don't we try to incorporate this somehow with a symphonic performance? And so I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to sort of blend these two worlds together. And I don't think this has been really done before, so I'm excited to try it.
That sounds like an absolutely incredible idea. Wow, that's not a concert to be missed, I'm sure. That's definitely very much of a, maybe not multimedia, but multi-arts presentation. So,
well, there is going to be sort of a multimedia component because I think what's been morphed most recently is that the first few scenes will actually be projected, and then you don't actually see the actors until they actually take you out of the theater during the intermission. So I'm trying to combine all of these different worlds, because it really was in the time of Mahler and his concerts that the concert experience really started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
From what I understand, he was the first composer that really wanted sort of the lights dimmed and for it to be this experience in front of you that required your sort of complete focus and attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to try to recreate elements of that with this performance.
Well, that sounds really, really amazing. That's going to be a fantastic concert, Scott, and quite an effort to put that out on, I'm sure. So now I also noticed in going over the season brochure that the November concert, which is November 12th and 13th, is you are going to be performing the Mendelssohn Fourth Symphony, which is the Italian symphony, probably one of the most joyful, happy works of music I know that I've ever heard. And I wonder if you can tell us just a little bit about it.
Sure. I'm sure, you know, everyone has heard of the composer Felix Mendelssohn. I mean, he had such a huge output for someone who, you know, didn't live very long. And as a sort of child prodigy, he created so many things and so many early sort of incredible works that seemed like they come from a seasoned composer. And, you know, everyone knows his violin concerto. And really his music sort of embodies this youthful energy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, of course, he went to Italy and was inspired by all the things that he sort of heard and witnessed there. And so he created sketches for this symphony. And this is sort of his impression of Italy. And so it's everyone knows the first movement. It starts out very, very sort of lively and brisk, and it's got these inner rhythms going in the inner strings, while this streaming, fluid, slightly contoured melody comes from the upper strings. And it's just so much fun for the orchestra, and I hope that energy sort of translates to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to hear a little bit of that. I have a recording of it here, so we're going to hear a performance by the Marlboro Festival Orchestra, conducted by Pablo Casals. It's one of my favorite recordings, so let's hear a little bit about Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony.
Great.
Well, now, isn't that just absolutely beautiful, Scott? That's what a wonderful, happy, joyous symphony.
And, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that Mendelssohn was still a teenager when he wrote that, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. I would have to check. I'm pretty sure. It was 1833, and I forget exactly when he kicked it.
I think one of the things that I read about it was that he was actually on a summer vacation. So as a teenager, I think he was a late teenager, like probably 17, and he apparently had gone there for vacation. So I'm just trying to imagine, you know, all the vacations I took way back when as a teenager, and the thought of composing a symphony while I was on vacation was just... What an unusual idea that is, but it certainly does display that youthfulness, I think. So, well, let's move on to this month's concert, which is actually next weekend. North State Symphony is doing a concert, as usual, in both Reading and Chico. And what are the works that you're going to be performing on that concert?
Well, I decided to start the season. You know, the season opener is always like, well, what can we do? How can we sort of set the tone for everything to come? And I always like to do something a little bit rhythmic and driven and maybe even lighter sometimes. And I thought the George Gershwin's Cuban Overture would be a nice sort of framework for everything that's going to come, because it starts out, you know, it's almost a metaphor for the Mahler in that it starts out kind of dark, and you're like, oh, what is this we're about to hear? But then literally like 3 seconds later, it's the most like light music you can imagine.
It's very dance-like. It's just, I think you named the concert Rumba to Ravel.
Yes, yes, yes. Because, you know, in the Gershwin, we have these Cuban rhythms, and I thought, you know, why not, you know, go from that to the more intricate rhythmic interplay that is the Ravel.
So. Yeah, it's a very, very upbeat piece. And I actually opened the hour right before you and I started talking with a recording of the Cuban Overture. So that was, everybody listening has actually just recently heard it. So I'm sure they can identify with what you're talking about. We talked a little earlier about the Ravel Second Suite, the Daphnis and Chloe, and you're also doing a piano concerto by Prokofiev.
Yes, yes. For that, we're bringing in the lovely Olga Kapalova, who actually has done a few things in Reading, and I believe she has family there, and so she's going to come in and do this magnificent piece of music, which honestly I didn't really know until about a year and a half ago. So I'm really excited to do it, especially as you know, the third movement, which is just this rhythmic sort of angular piece that just takes you and pushes you through these harmonic realms, especially at the end, and it's just an exciting ending.
Yeah, yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful piece. I actually opened the show this evening with the last 2 minutes, the very, very finale section of that piano concerto, and it's it's an absolutely exciting. It's such an exciting piece, so it's really beautiful, and so that's really going to be a huge highlight of the concert next weekend.
Definitely, definitely, but of course the Ravel. I mean, everything from two harps to a backstage wordless chorus. It's going to be quite an experience, if not just to simply try to fit 100 people on that little stage on the Cascade.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a challenge, I'm sure, but well worth it for the outcome. Another work that I saw that's on the program for next weekend is a work called Spectre of the Spheres by David Hertzberg, I believe. Tell us about that, Scott.
Well, Spectre of the Spheres is a newer work, and actually I just learned that it's the West Coast premiere, so I'm excited about that. But he was inspired to write this piece with the idea of the Aurora Borealis in mind.
Oh.
Just sort of this thing that we kind of know, but we don't really know, this mm-hmm. terrifying and arrestingly beautiful entity. And so this occurrence, he wanted to sort of try to put it to music somehow, and then sort of and there's a poem, there's this it's too lengthy to read about, but mm-hmm. the piece itself is you know, it starts off sort of very mysterious, and it's very textural. It reminds me a lot of Ravel, and that's why I thought it'd be a good pairing for this concert, because it starts off and you hear these various percussion sounds blending with these string harmonics, and these he actually tells the brass players to sort of just blow into their instrument without making actual tones. So a lot of sort of earthy effects going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
And the piece just kind of builds, and there are some sort of just bigger growing moments where the brass actually interject with these earthy forces, and the whole thing, it's this very atmospheric experience, I would say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it'll be really interesting to go from that to the Ravel, which sort of starts off similarly, but transforms into a completely different world within the mm-hmm. first several minutes.
Oh, that sounds really amazing. Yeah, that's going to be, I'm sure, a very interesting transition. And I think what I'd like to do is share with our listeners
a little bit of the Ravel piece, Daphnis and Chloe, Suite Number 2, and this is going to be the fast dance at the end of the suite.
Okay, great.
This is Intermountain Classics on KKRN 88.5 FM in Round Mountain. I'm Tom Diskin. Thanks for listening. We're listening to an interview with North State Symphony's conductor and artistic director, Scott Seaton, talking about next weekend's season opening concerts and the upcoming concert season. We've just heard a very exciting excerpt from Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe Suite No. 2. Which will be featured on North State Symphony's season opening concerts taking place next weekend, September 24th and 25th, in both Reading and Chico.
Well, this really sounds like it's going to be an absolutely wonderful concert this coming weekend, Scott. So, wow, thank you for putting such a great program together. It's something that I know we'll all be very much looking forward to and very excited to hear. So this is going to be lots of exciting music. Well, I'm sure that many of our listeners would like to attend this concert. What should they do to be sure to get tickets for either the Reading or Chico concert?
Well, they should either go to the North State Symphony website, which is northstatesymphony.org, or in Chico or Reading, they can go to, in Reading, they can go to the Cascade Theater box office, or they can call the box office. And in Chico, they can do the same through Chico Performances, I believe. And really, this is the time to, if you've been to our concerts and you want to sort of secure your seats, this is really the time to buy a season subscription, because you don't have to worry about where you're going to sit. Everything's set for you, and you get a lot of other perks, like private receptions and other events specifically designed for subscribers. So really consider doing that if you've been a single ticket holder in the past and you want to sort of take the next step.
Yeah, I understand that there are season tickets available in for the Reading performances at this point.
Yes, absolutely.
And is there a savings in obtaining a season ticket over the single ticket prices?
Yes, there is a deal worked in there. And I can't tell you much about that, but I do know about the other perks. And there, I think it's the appeal of these special events that you get invitations to.
Sure.
But yes, there is some kind of deal worked into the season ticket package where you actually save money by buying a season ticket as opposed to buying single tickets to all the concerts.
So the season tickets include the four main concerts in the series, but they don't include, for example, the chamber music concerts and the New Year's Eve gala and the Pops concert. Is that correct?
Right. because the pop series is new, we're still trying to do several things with that, and hopefully in the coming seasons it will morph into the season subscription package.
Ah.
That's my hope, at least.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to be going with it. But it's really a much expanded season this year, and lots of exciting things to look forward to.
Oh, absolutely. Can't wait.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about the concert and the entire season? Anything at all?
Well, I mean, for those who have gone before, you know that these are really fun experiences, and it's not just going to a concert and sitting anymore. It's, you know, I try to engage as much as possible. You know, we are doing our Just Ask series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'll do that for every single concert, but I'm definitely going to continue it because it's a lot of fun for me and the orchestra to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
That the audience is curious about, and we've gotten some really interesting questions out there. And really, I mean, most of our concerts, especially the opener and the ender, you know, we have things going on before the events, and in Reading especially, there is the pre-concert party that Dignity Health is sponsoring this time mm-hmm. around. So on Sunday at 12 p.m., there's going to be a huge get-together right out front of the Cascade, and there's going to be live music. So there's all these things that make up the symphony experience that mm-hmm. it's not mm-hmm. just showing up and sitting through a concert anymore. There's so much more involved.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a wonderful experience. So something to definitely look forward to. So that concert is just this weekend. It's September 24th and 25th, and Sunday afternoon concert, I believe, is the one in Reading. Is that correct?
That's correct. So 12 p.m., there's the party. At 1 p.m. Is the pre-concert lecture, and then the concert starts at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to remind our listeners that those that attended concerts last year, those concerts started later at 4 o'clock, but you've made a change to a 2 o'clock concert time for this season.
Right, yeah. The 2 o'clock was actually around before, but they did the 4 p.m. experiment last year, and I don't think I think there was more preference for the 2 p.m., so they switched back.
Right. So that's so that concert will be at 2 o'clock. Well, right. Thank you so much for being my guest on Intermountain Classics, Scott. This has been a really, really interesting discussion, and this is going to be such an exciting season we have to look forward to.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Tom, and I very much look forward to meeting everyone and hopefully seeing a lot of new faces at the symphony.
All right. Thank you so much, and you have a great evening, Scott.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
North State Symphony's opening concert, Rumba to Ravel, will include music by Gershwin, Hertzberg, and Ravel, and will feature guest soloist Olga Koplova in the Piano Concerto No. 3 by Serge Prokofiev. The concerts take place on September 24th at 7:30 p.m. at Laxon Auditorium in Chico, and on September 25th at 2 p.m. at the Cascade Theater in Reading. For tickets or more information, go to northstatesymphony.org. This is Intermountain Classics on KKRN 88.5, FM, your listener-supported community radio station in Round Mountain. I'm Tom Diskin. Thanks for listening tonight. We've been listening to an interview with North State Symphony's conductor and artistic director, Scott Seaton. Scott has been talking about the upcoming 2016-2017 concert season, as well as highlights of next weekend's season opener. You can learn more about the new season and all the concert offerings available by going to the symphony website, northstatesymphony.org. Tickets for the Reading concerts can be obtained by going to the Cascade Theater box office website, cascadetheater.org, or by calling 530-243-8877. Let's wrap up this hour of Intermountain Classics, dedicated to our own North State Symphony, with one more selection from next weekend's concerts. This is Spectre of the Spheres, by David Hertzberg. This is Intermountain Classics on KKRN 88.5 FM in Round Mountain. I'm Tom Diskin. Thanks for joining me this evening. We've been listening to an interview with North State Symphony's conductor and artistic director Scott Seaton, talking about next weekend's season opening concerts and the upcoming concert season. Stay tuned for more music on Intermountain Classics. The second hour of our program features some beautiful songs for women's chorus by Brahms and two modern classical works in the blues style.